Hello, and welcome to the second episode of the Want Midna Back podcast. I'm your host, MidnaFan10039. Joining me today, we have Firemaster.
Hello. Thanks for having me on here.
Hey, not a problem. We also have Camaro Squid.
Hello.
And, of course, FezZeldaLord12345.
Greetings, mortals.
So, before we get to our main topic today, let's see what everyone's been up to. Let's start with Camaro. What have you been up to this last week?
Working in RER, Responsible Electronics Recycling. I recycle electronics and stuff like that, little pallets, just helping the environment, stuff like that. Just been working, that's all.
Firemaster?
I've just been working on making sure that dogs are fed and the portals to them to the underworld don't crash into the world today and kill us all. You know, normal stuff.
And how about you, FezZeldaLord? 12345?
Well, I beat Symphony of the Night, which is pretty much an action version of Super Metroid. It was worth playing. And I'm getting back to Earthbound.
As for myself, I've been doing university stuff, so, you know, studying, going to class, the usual. And I've also been editing the podcast from the first week, which has taken up some of my time this past week, so hopefully we'll get that up by today, hopefully. Anyways, let's get right into our topic today. Our topic today is the upcoming Wii U Zelda game. So we haven't really been seeing too much of the upcoming Wii U Zelda game. Like, we've seen the HD Wind Waker, but we haven't seen a new one. We've seen just a little preview from about 2 years ago at E3, but hopefully we'll delve more into this. So, partners have been frequently used in Zelda titles, such as Navi in Ocarina of Time, Zelda herself in Spirit Tracks, and Midna in Twilight Princess. What partner would you like to see in this game, or would you prefer not to have any partners at all?
No partner at all. I want isolation like in the Metroid games and the original Zelda games. So yeah, I think it would be nice to have no partner at all, unless they actually make it actually needed, like how Daxter sort of works in the Jak and Daxter games, even though that sort of borrows elements from the Zelda games themselves. But they just need to make it relevant. If it's not relevant, it's not needed to be in there for like Fi from Skyward Sword, so... Either have it or don't have it at all. If it's going to be in there, then make sure it works. If it's not going to be in there, then that's fine with me.
I say bring Midna back if they can. If not, I really don't care just as long as it's not another fee.
Honestly, I'd have to agree with Camaro on this, as in have Link be alone for this adventure. However, if they do decide to have a partner with him, please at least try to have a second player be able to do something in the adventure, because a classic thing with, in my opinion, with the Legend of Zelda series is that it's been too alone. Like, Zelda Lord and I have discussed this many times on how fun it would be for a multiplayer Zelda game.
Got Four Swords and Four Swords Adventures.
Well, yeah, but with Four Swords Adventures, you need several different items in order to actually be able to work alongside the others. And even then, you have to stare at the really tiny Game Boy Advance screens.
Yeah, I bashed it for that in my rating.
Yeah, that was a big problem for me, too.
I'm going to say that partners probably haven't been the best in past Zelda titles, especially Fee, in my opinion. But So I probably wouldn't want to see any partner in this new game, but if they do include a partner, I hope it's Midna again, but we'll have to see. Okay, so what new mechanic should Nintendo make use of? So, like, in the past, we've had the Twilight Realm for Twilight Princess, we've had Skyloft for Skyward Sword. What sort of new mechanic should Nintendo make use of?
The gamepad. They should make use of the gamepad, because right now all the games on the Wii U really don't make use of it, and it's like, why even bother getting a Wii U? I can do this on any other console. Like, the Wii U gamepad is what makes the Wii U the Wii U, so they need to use the gamepad some way to make the new Zelda game a true killer app for the Wii U, and it will actually show you why the Wii U matters. And it's either Zelda or Metroid that's going to be doing this, and it's not going to be Mario or any of the other titles that were shown off at this year's E3, but yes, they need to make sure the Wii U gamepad is vital to this new game. If not, then it sort of fails at being a Wii U game, in a sense.
So are you saying that maybe there should be a world right in the gamepad?
Not really. I'm just saying the game needs to work with the gamepad in a way that the gamepad actually matters towards the game, it has to be a game where it's only playable on the Wii U. It can't be done on, like, any other console. Like, Pikmin 3 could have been done on any other console. The gamepad wasn't really necessary for the game. It needs to be necessary for the game in order to actually be essential to the success of the Wii U. If it's not, it's not going to, like, be like, why does this matter?
Right. I get what you're saying.
Yes, I can agree with that.
The lines of putting a map on the gamepad, and then something along the lines of Phantom Hourglass, where you actually took notes on it.
Yes, but that's a simple question of been there, done that. They need to do something a little bit more extreme, and I'm not sure how they do it, but I'm pretty sure if anyone, it's Nintendo, so yeah.
Okay, Master, go ahead.
It could be that they use the gamepad as a second player device for any sort of partner they come up with. I know I'm rambling on about the whole multiplayer part of it, of the games, but it's a great use that they have yet to try out, and with the gamepad, they have great options for it.
And that's also true, though. They actually did mention that they want to break up two factors in the new Zelda game. They want to break the mold of playing by yourself and, what was the other one? Playing by yourself and the order you complete dungeons. And they want to break those two molds, so that might actually play a role in it, so only time will tell.
I think that I'm going to agree with Camaro's spin on this one and say that Nintendo needs to make use of the gamepad, but what I'm thinking is that maybe they should try and makes a world right inside the gamepad, so that maybe there could be like a mirror of Twilight or something to that extent that carries Link from the TV right to the gamepad, so then you would be looking from one screen to the other screen, so from the TV to the gamepad and vice versa.
I see what you're getting here, working with a sort of separate world or a separate time period that Link could go in between to solve puzzles or continue his quest.
Exactly, yeah.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of had a set of three timelines from Nintendo so far in the Zelda Hyrule the book or whatever.
Hyrule Story.
There we are. So, if they do make, well, they probably will make another Wii U Zelda game besides the Wind Waker HD, but which timeline do you think Nintendo will make the game for?
Honestly,
Put in the same timeline as Four Swords Adventures and Majora's Mask.
I second that, but I think they actually might just do something stupid, like a prequel to Skyward Sword, but I'm really hoping it will be on the child timeline, where it's or not the child, yeah, the child timeline between, like, Four Swords and Majora's Mask or whatever, or between the princess, to explain that gap. Like, I really want to know, like, why is that there? What happened there? Either that, or I want one that's on the adult timeline after Fairytrax.
Honestly,
we have a much more advanced Hyrule with technology and stuff. Link rides a motorcycle or something, I don't know.
Okay. Honestly, I'd like to see them try out that third timeline they talked about. The one where in Ocarina of Time, Ganon wins. The hypothetical situation. That seems like a very interesting topic to me when I first heard about it, and I'd very much like to see if that would see what would happen in that world.
Well, haven't we seen sort of what happens already? Like, isn't that where Wind Waker left off?
No, he's talking about.
With each new Zelda game, it's been a different generation. So every time we play a new Zelda game, it from one of the two timelines that we've gone into, it's been more of a different generation and time moving forward.
So you're talking about a game that takes place right after Link fails beating Ganon after Ocarina of Time, sort of thing?
Yes.
So a complete continuation. Yeah, I agree. They actually need to do that more in the Zelda games, because it's sort of getting, I don't know, a bit repetitive. I want something more new and fresh. But yeah, I completely agree with you on that. That would be really cool to see.
As for myself, I think that maybe there should be something after Twilight Princess. I think that's as far as it's gone so far.
Yes, I want that. And in fact, I think that would be great where Fire Master mentioned, like, right after Twilight Princess sort of thing. Even if it's, like, 2 years after Twilight Princess, it would still be great. As long as it's not, like, a generation ahead or something, that would be kind of like, what's the point?
Right.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, Link has to regain some, either his old equipment or some new stuff, and go on this new adventure against a new enemy. They've used Ganon a few too many times, in my opinion.
And with the trailer that we've seen about 2 years ago was E3, but with the whole spider thing, it kind of looks reminiscent of the whole Twilight Princess series, sort of, like the whole Twilight Princess video game. So that's why I'm thinking it's going to take place after Twilight Princess.
If they have a similar world as in Twilight Princess, I wouldn't complain, considering that the art design for Twilight Princess was pretty impressive. I'm sure you guys agree you'd like to see that art design come back.
Indeed.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more stylized, but I agree with that.
I definitely did like the art style, but we'll have to wait and see, like, I think Nintendo said something about the trailer not being, like, exactly how it's going to look, so.
Yeah, they did say that. They said that they're going to make it not ultra-cartoony or ultra-realistic. They're going to make it something, like, that's not actually out there. Something that's completely new and never been seen in a video game before, so I'm not sure how they're going to pull it off.
It has been done a million times.
Pretty much.
And, of course, we're going to move right on to question number 4. Which is, will Midna be back in this Wii U game?
I pray for that.
I don't know. Maybe. They haven't really had that many reoccurring partners as of late, so I doubt it.
I also have to say I doubt it. In fact, I think that it's not going to happen. Maybe she'll make a cameo appearance, if anything. But even then, I don't think she's going to appear, because this game's probably pretty far into development at the moment. It's past the concept stage, so I don't think I want Midna back was actually put in enough influence to influence this game, but who knows, really. Maybe Nintendo still knows about it, maybe they don't. I honestly don't know and don't personally care all that much. I just want a new Zelda game, and I just want to play it, so. But yeah.
I think it would be awesome to have her back, but we've pretty much only seen, I think it was Navi. I think Navi was in both or Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Well, I highly doubt that they're going to have a similar design to the partner as we had with Navi and Tattle from Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, considering that back then, they didn't really have that great of a system to create for the design of games, so everything was a bit more pixelated, and Navi and Tattle were simple designs for partners to be made. With the new systems coming out, and all these new pixels they use for TVs, they're probably going to have a more in-depth and more well-designed partner than we had back in the day.
I agree with that. In fact, that's the point why they actually made the fairies balls with wings, is because it was due to the technical difficulties of the limitations of the systems. They couldn't actually have like a real fairy like how they did in the 2D games. In fact, in Wind Waker, we actually get a fairy that's not just that classic ball with the wings. It's actually a fairy, but yeah.
Right, yeah. But I highly doubt that Midna will be back in this game. So, dungeons are a vital part of any Zelda title. Like, we've been to the Forest Temple, we've been to the Fire Temple, we've been to the Twilight Temple, we've been to all kinds of temples and dungeons. So, what are some of your ideas for some of the dungeons in this game?
I don't believe we've seen a Light Temple yet. The closest was the Temple of Time in Twilight Princess, but I don't think that really counts.
No, there was more of like a statue temple, if you think about it.
I want a temple or a dungeon that takes place outside, even though that depletes the force of having a dungeon outside. But, you know, in Skyward Sword, the overworld sort of played as a dungeon. I sort of want to see more of that, where dungeons are more like along the lines of inside and outside, where the world also has sort of like a dungeon-like feeling to it, which Skyward Sword sort of had. It's sort of breaking the mold of the Zelda formula, and I want to see more of that. Or perhaps a tower where you like advance throughout the outside of the tower, or something sort of like the Tower of the Gods in Wind Waker when you're about to fight Godon. So, yeah, something like that would be really cool to see.
Thinking about it, it would be interesting to see if they have sort of a throwback dungeon back to Minish Cap, have Link shrink down to the size of an ant or whatever, and have him go through a dungeon as in such a tiny stature, as sort of like a remembrance to the some of the older games.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a very neat idea, I think.
Just make a better first boss.
They can't have the same first boss from Minish Cap.
No.
But, you know, if Mario Galaxy 2 can sort of touch on Super Mario 64, then who says that Zelda can't sort of do the same thing?
I agree with that.
Exactly. Just not, with the new advances in gaming technology, there is no reason why they can't have some throwbacks or some remembrances of the old, of some of the good times from the Zelda series. Enjoy the past a bit more. Teach these young whippersnappers what it was back in our day.
You are a whippersnapper.
Not at heart.
And I think it would be very good for Nintendo to actually do that, because if they do have throwbacks, then it can sort of get the new generation of Zelda players and fans into like some of the older titles, and then that means more money in Nintendo's pocket. Anyways, for my idea on the dungeon, I'm probably gonna say, how about maybe a sky dungeon. So, like, everything takes place in the sky. So, like, Skyward Sword kind of did that for, like, the last dungeon that you visited, but I'm thinking more, like, have maybe, like, platforms above the sky. Make it more of, like, a dungeon above the sky, rather than just an overworld and a town or whatever. So,
what it was with the last dungeon collecting the piece of the Twilight Mirror in Twilight Princess. I keep forgetting the name of the place.
The Twilight Realm?
No. Before you go to the Twilight Realm, the dungeon collecting that final piece of the Twilight Mirror.
City in the Sky.
That was it.
Yeah, sort of like that.
It's called City in the Sky?
Or maybe an underground dungeon. I don't know. Anyways, dungeons and items are key parts of the Zelda title. Any Zelda title. So, we've touched on dungeons already, but how about, what are some of your ideas for items in this upcoming game?
I think they should try to use the gamepad so they try to make wielding the bow a little different. I'm not entirely sure how they would do it.
Do you remember in the Wii U game, Wii U Land?
Nintendo Land,
that was it. Well, how in that one multiplayer Zelda thing, you used the gamepad to fire arrows?
Yeah.
They might try something like that. And it might play into the extra world for the gamepad or the multiplayer function. They might do something like that.
Hmm.
Actually, I see something that could work out though with that is actually have the world appear different through the gamepad and appears different on the TV sort of thing, but yeah. One item I think they actually need to put in is a crossbow. I mean, we had Link's crossbow training, and I know it's not a canon game, but, I mean, come on, you need to put in a crossbow in a Zelda game. Either that or just give Link gun precautions. But yeah, I guess it's extreme, but crossbow would be, like, the perfect balance between the two.
Hmm.
Maybe you could add upgrades and stuff to the crossbow or something like that. It'd just be a much more efficient version of the bow, and it'd be like the slingshot compared to the bow. The bow would be compared to the crossbow sort of thing, maybe. I don't know. Just have a crossbow in there. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, I can see what you could do with the crossbow. Like, you have Link with a... You put together the hookshot and a crossbow for different types of arrows, and you can have them traverse dungeons in, like, an extra world or something with the crossbow. Use the crossbow to, I don't know, flip switches, to scale walls. That'd be pretty interesting.
I think it'd be cool to have, like, different attachments, like a rapid-fire attachment, maybe, like, a spread attachment for, like, a shotgun, maybe, thing. I know this is kind of crossing the line a bit, but I think it's time for, some change in the series, so I think it'd be cool to have different attachments for different weapons and stuff, and just improve on that upgrade system we see in the Skyward Sword. I really love that system where you upgrade the weapons. They just need to expand upon that a lot more.
Yeah, the differences in Skyward Sword's upgrades were negligible to me.
Yeah.
The only one that made something of a big difference was the slingshot upgrade, and even then, it was sort of negligible.
Yeah, Skyward Sword's upgrades didn't really serve that much of a function. You could still go through the game without them. However, if you can create customizable equipment, like increasing or adding something new to the power of your sword, or maybe putting a spike on your shield, it could put more of an RPG factor into the game.
And I would love that. And I think they also need to make mandatory item upgrades so that way you need them to advance throughout the game. I know that's a bit extreme, but it sort of needs to be done if they're going to keep the upgrade system, because it's going to be like pointless if it's not mandatory sort of thing.
Just don't make it like MMOs where you have to farm them.
Exactly.
You could get certain upgrades in dungeons that you could switch out anywhere if you think about it. Sort of like instead of like the C stick from from Ocarina of Time, you could go with switching out different upgrades in the blink of an eye. I mean, Link already has this massive pocket of his, or this never-ending pouch.
I'm gonna say that they need to bring back the Pup's Hut, which is probably obvious, but I don't know, it's just, there's so many possibilities with the Pup's Hut that they probably use and probably haven't thought of yet. And it's one of the key items in almost any Zelda game, so they should definitely bring that back.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the hookshot, with upgradable capabilities, you could make it into almost anything. You could turn it into a projectile, you could, with some of the technology they came up with in previous games, you could turn the hookshot into sort of something like that scarab beetle thing that you'd shoot out it was in Twilight Princess, not Twilight Princess,
Skyward Sword.
Yeah, Skyward Sword, yeah. I keep forgetting the name of it.
It's just called the Beetle.
Yeah, just upgrade the Beetle. Well, upgrade the hookshot.
And get a Pink Floyd with it. And get a Pink Floyd with it. I couldn't resist.
You can't see it right now, but Lord, you just made me head to facepalm.
Okay,
so how big will this world be? We've seen various sizes in past Zelda titles. So, like, in Skyward Sword, you had both the overworld in the sky and the overworld on the ground. And in Ocarina of Time, you had just, like, it was a mediocre size of the overworld, but, yeah. Anyways, how big will the world be for this upcoming game?
I want to see something that's around the same size as Darksiders 2 overworld, maybe a little bit bigger. I found that that was a great balance between the huge overworld where you... Like, I know it's not Zelda-related or Nintendo-related, but Darksiders 2 really does have a lot of Zelda elements in it, but I just want to see that kind of huge overworld with, like, all these optional dungeons hidden throughout the land. It just really threw me back to, like, wow, Zelda was like this way back when. It's just, like, it's kind of funny how far downhill the series went in terms of the overworld and all these secrets you find in the overworld. I want them to bring back the secrets and stuff, but yeah, in terms of size, just make it, like, it's about as big as Darksiders 2 overworld with all the different, like, hell, heaven, and middle, I guess. But, yeah.
I would definitely enjoy something like that. Like, a large overworld with so many things I could do. Like, you don't have to worry too much on the main story, and you could go off and have fun.
Yeah, also another thing you could compare that to is the Great Sea in Wind Waker. It's just, like, it's amazing how far downhill the series has went with the exploration bit of the series.
And I can definitely see what you mean by optional dungeons and extra side quests you could do in order to pick... you could use that to pick up possible adaptations or possible upgrades to your equipment of what we spoke about earlier.
Okay, go ahead, Firemaster.
The extra dungeon seemed like a very interesting concept. You know, they could possibly have a sort of ranking system for online play. I know it's used a lot in PlayStation for possible quests, but I don't know what sort of way they'd use for the ranking system, but it would be interesting. Like an optional dungeon.
I have really mixed feelings on overworlds. I like them to have a lot of things in it, but I don't like them to be massive. I'm not really sure how it should be done. I honestly think it was perfect in Ocarina of Time. There was a lot of secrets in there, and a lot of side quests as well, but the overworld was still small.
That's
I personally really enjoyed that.
But yeah, that also ties into my view of the Darksiders 2 overworld. It's not too big, it's not too large, it's not too small, it's not too tiny. It's just right. It's not like Skyrim massive, but it's a nice blend between large and small. That it's perfect. It's not huge, but it's just right. And I think that would be their best bet for an overworld in terms of size. But yeah. For any of you that haven't played Darksiders or Darksiders 2, go please play that game. It's just like Zelda, but maybe a little bit better. Maybe that's just me talking, but it has a lot of Zelda elements in it, so you just need to play.
Oh yeah, it's definitely one of the better games I've ever played on the PlayStation. PlayStation really did well with those games.
I've had it for 4 months and haven't touched it yet.
I don't even have a PlayStation, so not sure how I can play it.
I have the Wii U version.
Same here. And I have the 360 version of Darksiders, but yeah, both great games.
I didn't know it came on the Wii U. Anyways, back to our
digress.
Podcast. I'm going to say that we need a map. Overworld, sort of the same size as probably either Minish Cap or Ocarina of Time. I found that Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword were a bit too big and large, and especially Skyward Sword was a bit more cumbersome to traverse because simply you had to go back and forth between the sky realm and the on the ground, so you couldn't travel between like the fire and the grass or whatever. So I'm hoping to see something like Ocarina of Time, like everyone else has said. But along with that, we also need several side quests in order for the game to, you know, have sufficient playability and everything else for the hardcore Zelda fan.
Well, we don't want to make it too hardcore, because some of the newer generations are just getting into the series and aren't really as in-depth to it as we are.
Yeah, and that's another thing that ties into that is I think Miyamoto kind of wants to casualize the series, which is something that, like, he wants to appeal towards casuals and the hardcore, and you can't really do that, especially with a game like Skyward Sword where the opening's like over an hour long of doing like what, nothing? Just going around learning the town and stuff like that. And it's just nobody wants to do that for like an hour in terms of casuals. They don't have the patience for that. They just want to play a game and just relax sort of thing. You just can't appeal to casual and hardcore at the same time in terms of a Zelda game. Maybe they can, but I highly doubt they can, so, yeah.
So far we've seen sort of like the basic formula for Zelda titles. So like, Princess Zelda gets kidnapped or something along those lines, and then you have to go rescue her and go through several dungeons and whatever. So, would you like to see a new type of Zelda game, and if so, what kind of type would you like to see?
Zelda Lord, should I mention my alternate reality idea, or should I save that for a later date?
I'm not entirely sure what you're talking about.
You know the one. You know the one I'm talking about, where you're not exactly playing as Link.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead and mention it. I want to hear it.
Okay, be prepared to sit back for 10 minutes.
Alright, yeah, you might want to sit down or get a drink or something. This might be a while. So, pretty much my idea was for not a usual Zelda game, but more of you're playing as a reincarnation or a descendant of Ganon, rather than Link inheriting the Triforce of Power rather than Courage. And instead of using more of the equipment you get, you can get more abilities using the power of darkness and shadow, trying to work ahead with that. Pretty much the main basis of this was after Link succeeds in defeating the previous Ganon, he takes over and becomes an evil ruler. The power just goes to his head and goes good and just goes crazy on the land of Hyrule. The new Ganon has to go around collecting the scattered pieces of Ganon's power and learn how to use the Triforce of Power better than the previous Ganon in order to defeat Link and restore proper balance to the land of Hyrule. It'll play more into sort of both an RPG classic Legend of Zelda standpoint and a political standpoint, because you have to worry about whether the people want you to take down Link or not, because remember, he's still technically the king. You're going to want the people on your side for this, so it's not utter chaos. Sort of pulling the world into more of an in-depth situation and showing a Hyrule to be more than just, oh, this is where this is, that is where that is.
So it would be more like a spin-off game.
Pretty much.
And you described it plot-wise, not gameplay-wise.
Well,
okay. Well, the story is just as important as the gameplay in this day and age, so. But in terms of how I want the formula to change, they need to change a lot of things, like dungeon item beats dungeon boss. That needs to go. I freaking hate that. It's too predictable. In Skyward Sword, when I was fighting Kaloptos, I knew right away that I needed to use the whip to rip off his limbs. Like,
even then, it was still very fun.
And that needs to go. I want to see order completing dungeons to change. Maybe get rid of the dungeon factor a bit. Maybe change it up a bit so that way there's not just dungeons, but it's fields that are dungeons, sort of like how Skyward Sword was. Like, Skyward Sword was a great start of changing up the formula, which is why I really appreciate that game, because it's different from other Zelda games. So I just think they need to change up everything that we've seen so far and implement ideas from Skyward Sword and expand upon them, like the item upgrade system, the upgradable shields, the stamina meter, sprinting, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, just change it up, make it so it's not stale anymore, because Anuma said that the formula is getting stale, and he even said that himself, that he thinks it's getting stale. So they're obviously going to change the formula quite a bit, and they did that with Skyward Sword, so...
Honestly, I don't have any problems with the formula at all. Even if it's still predictable, I still really enjoy it. I also don't want it to be changed.
Okay, and as for me, I'd like to see... Well, first of all, I should say that so far there's really nothing too wrong with the Zelda... the way that they're doing the Zelda games, but if they did try and change their formula or change the type of game that Zelda is and was, I would maybe like to see either a tower defense game or a platformer, sort of like Mario, so.
Platformer Zelda would be cool. That kind of reminds me of the Jack and Daxter series for some reason, or the Mario series, but maybe it only reminds me of Jack and Daxter because Jack has elf ears, so. And he bears similarities to Link, so yeah.
And Link and Legend of Zelda was a platformer at one time, so I can see that happening again. If you remember or have played Legend of Zelda 2.
Technically, that's an action RPG.
It still has
yeah,
class.
But it did have many. It did have many, many side-scrolling action, and many points where everything was side-scrolling, even if you did have an overworld.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, platformers, all the game would work out. I think Skyward Sword had a couple platforming elements, like climbing vines and stuff. But that's not really platforming. But it's still.
I don't get that.
But it's still like. It's possible.
It can happen.
Okay, so I've sort of touched on like, what kind of Zelda game they could make if they decide to change the formula. And we've been sort of touching on Jak and Daxter and Mario. So, would you like to see a crossover between the Zelda universe and some other universe? And if so, what universe would you like to see?
Well, this is an interesting question. It probably would have to be Nintendo related, but I'm just going to go with the obvious answer. Metroid. Metroid and The Legend of Zelda have very similar, it's very similar gameplay mechanics and stuff, such as solving puzzles and stuff like that. But I think it would make a pretty interesting crossover, because one's more set in the primitive medieval type setting, and the other's in more of a sci-fi setting. And I've said it before a lot, maybe not on the podcast, but I would love to see a sci-fi Zelda game. I don't care what anyone says. I think that would be completely awesome. But yeah, that kind of crossover would be cool to see.
For my opinion as a crossover, I can't really think of it, anything it, that would actually work it, as a typical Zelda game. The only thing I can really hear and think of off the top of my head is if Zelda came across Call of Duty and it was just a complete satire game.
Another cross that could work is Fire Emblem and Zelda, seeing how they're more medieval type theme games, but Fire Emblem and Zelda would work decently well, I guess. I'm not too sure. I haven't played many Fire Emblem games. I'm not really a fan of the series. Burn me if you want. I just can't really get into those type of games.
Firemaster?
It's kind of hard to say when it comes to mixing multiple worlds, because one, you have to think about the gameplay of both games and whether or not they can connect well. And B, you have to think about how exactly they could connect together. If you think about it, Legend of Zelda and Mario, both classic games, both well-loved. Many people have thought what it would be like to put the two together. And if they were to do a crossover, that would possibly be the best situation to do, considering the fact that, one, they both have a relative timeline of medieval setting with them, like sort of Hyrule is on the same continent as Peach's Castle or whatever, and you just never travel that far out of their borders in either of the games. So if you think about it, Mario would be the best situation to put with Link, since they're both good worlds put together, and two, everyone wants to see them together, honestly. Think about it. Think about how fun it would be to fight with Link and fight alongside Mario, have him throw fireballs at everything.
Din's fire.
Well,
but in terms of crossovers, I think they should just leave that to the Smash Bros. Series, but a crossover would be interesting to see. I remember when there was a rumor floating around of a Star Fox and Metroid crossover being done by Retro Studios, and I thought that was just like, what? Of course it wasn't true, of course, and then they revealed, oh, they're working on a Donkey Kong game. It's just like, oh, is the potential there, but that's a topic for something else, so.
I'm probably going to have to agree with Firemaster on this one, is that Mario and Zelda would be fantastic to see. But another possible franchise that I'd like to see is the Pokemon and Zelda. Now, how that would work, I'm not sure, but that would be kind of cool. It's not really the obvious answer, but it would be something very different, I assure you.
Unless you're going with the Mystery Dungeon setting for Pokemon, I can't really see how that'll work, considering, well, can you really imagine trapping one of the creatures from the Twilight Realm in a Pokeball? Think about that for a second there.
Mario and Pokemon. It's just like, go, Luigi! Sort of thing, but yeah. It would just be like, what the hell?
what would be the limit of what you could catch with the Pokeball in the world of Legend, in the world of Legend of Zelda? Because you could also catch bosses in a Pokeball from the Pokemon series if they weren't already caught by a trainer. So by putting that setting in Legend of Zelda, you could pretty much say you could capture Bongo Bongo with a Ultra Ball.
Yeah. One similarity I see between Pokemon and Zelda is, well, I haven't seen this, but a lot of people make this assumption, is that Link's Crimson Lockwing looks a lot like Ho-Oh, but I personally don't see as much as everyone else does, but it's kind of funny to think about that.
Never crossed my mind.
Me neither, but hey, if that's what other people see, then why not?
Hey, I've never seen it personally, but if they see it, go right ahead.
And our last question for today, for the topic, is what are the chances of having a multiplayer option? Perhaps a co-op mode, or maybe some competitive play.
Oh, God, is it multiplayer Zelda game? I think they're going to actually go along with the use of Miiverse, like how they do with Wind Waker HD with the Tingle bottles, where when you're sailing the Great Sea, you see like a washed-up bottle every so often, and it has like a Miiverse post in it sort of thing. They're probably going to incorporate the Miiverse into the game in a unique and fun way. As for like co-op multiplayer or competitive multiplayer, I don't think that's going to really happen. It might, but I just think it's not really going to happen because Zelda is more of a single-player type game, but it would be cool if there was a cooperative multiplayer setting. Or they'll just go all out and be stupid and be like, deathmatch Zelda, sort of thing. I don't know.
Just make that last part as an option on the main menu.
I think it would be very, very interesting and cool to have a multiplayer option, just like in the DS games, like how you could either connect via local or Wi-Fi play, but
you can only use Wi-Fi with Phantom Hourglass, not Spear Tracks for some reason.
Yeah, that pissed
me off. That's kind of weird.
But probably just because that way I would get to play it more, because like if other people want to play a game, then you most likely won't be playing Zelda games together, but that's just an idea.
You know, anyway. You could possibly, you know, thinking about it, you could put this together with the crossover. Like, if you do come up with a crossover, have both main characters playable in the game, have a co-op version where multiple players could play as both of them.
Indeed. Okay, so we'll be moving right on to the news now. This is where we heard last week's episode. You'll know exactly what it is. But just, if you don't know, I'll go over it quickly. So this is where we go over the main things that were posted on the main page of the website. So that is not the forum, that is just the main page. So,
just swampback.com, but yeah.
Exactly. So, we have some new affiliates. Killer Instinct Central and Nintendo Castle have now become our affiliates. We also value Ganon's Castle, which was about, if you haven't read it, read it. It's a great article.
Intriguing.
Ben Zeldalord also did another Oracle of Ages review, playthrough thing. Brandon has posted how The Adventure of Link Zelda 2 is now released on the Virtual Console, so if you haven't played that, make sure you get it now, because it's an awesome game.
I left a comment on most of them, summing up my thoughts.
I'm just going to go right ahead and say it, but this isn't news that was on the site. This is something I found on GamesRadar. It's apparently Eiji Onuma wants to make a Zelda game where... Hang on, let me try and find the article. Here it is. Zelda director wants to make a game about a predefined story. Basically, he's saying that he wants to make a game where the ending and the ultimate goal of the game is not actually defined, and he wants to make it where, like, the player defines the story, the player makes the game what it is, sort of thing. And that kind of ties in with the Mass Effect games kind of thing, in my opinion, but I just think it'd be really cool to have a Zelda game like that, where you make the story, you are the legend, sort of thing, where, yeah. And that's a really interesting article, but...
That would actually be pretty cool, like if it's sort of like a choose your own adventure sort of thing.
Yeah, sort of like you're not just going through dungeons, you are shaping the world of Hyrule around you.
All right. So, we are quickly coming to the end of our second podcast. So, we are going to move right on to our mailbag. This is where you can either send us questions through the Midmost Podcast form account, or you can email us directly at whatmidmostbackpodcast@hotmail.com. We got some questions today. Yay! We have questions from Firemaster 1432, who I believe is actually on the podcast today.
Yep.
Congratulations, Four Eyes.
Give a little clap there.
So, his questions are, what was your least favorite part in Twilight Princess?
The pose. I spend so much time planning out the most convenient path for beating them throughout the story. I spent a few hours on that.
My least favorite part of Twilight Princess is the difficulty. I would say not like the puzzle difficulty sort of thing that I think was alright, but the difficulty of how the enemies dish out damage to you. They only did like a quarter heart of damage and maybe a half a heart of damage, and at the most a heart of damage. It was pathetic, and it was just like, why? It's the one thing that really makes me hate the game of Twilight Princess, but yet I don't hate it. I love the game to this day, but it's just one of those things that makes me, I don't know, it's just, why do they have to make it so easy for in terms of combat?
Ganondorf could do 2 hearts of damage.
Yeah, but that's just Ganondorf, and the other rest of the game is just like a heart of damage and half a heart and quarter of a heart. It's just, it's pathetic. The game's supposed to get gradually harder as you advance, not gradually easier, and that's one of the things the Zelda series really needs to fix.
I suppose my least favorite part in Twilight Princess is probably there are some parts where you didn't know exactly what to do, and the game didn't actually like make sure to tell you what to do. So you had to go online, look up a little walkthrough, and then continue your journey. That's my only...
referring to the point where you needed to talk to the people at Thelma's bar?
Yeah, that part.
The postman actually gives you a letter telling you to go to Thelma's bar.
Well, and I suppose there was also the ice wolves in that little area to the east of the Dora's Domain. I didn't really understand how to get past that, but those are my least favorite parts.
Should I answer my own question, or move on to another one?
You can go for it.
I think I know what it is, so I'll make sure you hold back on your rant.
Okay, honestly, and I know a bunch of people are probably going to hate me for this, but... I'm going to say the fishing in Twilight Princess.
How dare you? I love fishing in real life.
Now, listen to me on this. I did a lot of fishing back in Ocarina of Time because I enjoyed it. It was basic, it was fun, and it was relaxing. And when I knew there was going to be fishing in Twilight Princess, I was excited for it. I was excited to spend like an hour relaxing in my chair just fishing for a while. And as I came to this, I was just like, how many of those are there going to be? What different seasons? And it's the one time they actually showed seasonal progression in any of the Zelda games that I've seen. And it makes you wonder. That I've seen. I haven't played Oracle of Seasons. But Oracle of Seasons, it changed throughout the entire world, correct?
And you changed it yourself.
Yes, that changed different aspects. This was just this one area. This one area you could walk into and the seasons were changed. Why only there? It raises so many questions. Why was this one place affected by the passage of time and seasons? Why weren't other areas? Why were so many things changed so quickly? How long does it take Link to open a door that the whole seasons are passing by as he's just passing through the door?
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. That is kind of pretty screwed up, but...
Video game logic.
It wasn't the simple games we had, simple fishing we had back from where you could just relax and fish. You had to go through different areas of the lake to find different fish and to catch them with different lures. Why couldn't you just get a fishing rod, go to a pond, and fish? You could do that through other areas of the game. Why was it this one specific area you had to go out and on a rowboat and just go fishing for a while? If you think it's gonna be easy getting the best lure in the game, it's not. I'm sure you guys remember that tilting game.
Oh yes.
That's not how you get the best lure.
The frog lure, that's how you get the frog lure.
I don't know how long I spent on that tilting game regardless. But it was just one of my least favorite aspects because it raised the most questions. There you go.
Okay.
Moving on to question two from Firemaster. Are you the type of gamer to collect everything, or do you play games for the story?
Completionist FCW.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be your answer, but...
Do I play games for the story or the gameplay? Is that what else was?
Yes.
Do you collect everything or do you play games for the story?
Oh, do I collect everything or play games for the story? I'd say I play the games for the story. If it was in terms of it's gameplay or story, it's both. But in terms of collecting things in the story, I play the games for story. The story is what really brings me into the games, and I think that's one aspect the Zelda series really needs to expand upon. Like, don't get me wrong, the games have great story to this day, but when you compare it to other works out there, it's not up to the other works out there. But I do love playing games for the story, because it's a whole new world. It's like I'm going to a different place, having a good time sort of thing, but yeah.
I'm probably going to say that I play games for the story since I tend not to collect everything. Like, if I have extra time, I will try to collect everything, but I'm mostly just play for the story.
I'm a similar way. I play games strictly for the story. I'm looking for something to keep me interested. If I'm not interested in the story of the game, I won't be interested in collecting things from the game and just play it just to play it. And I know I'm a bit of a completionist when I say I can't leave a game unbeaten. I have to beat the game. But if I don't enjoy the story or
the story drags on longer than it should have, then pretty much I'm not going to want to play it.
And finally, on to question number 3. And this is an easy one. What was your first Legend of Zelda game?
Ocarina of Time.
The Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker. I actually played the demo on it first. Well, this is the first Zelda game I actually completed. If you're talking about the first Zelda game I very first played, it might be the one for the NES. I'm not sure. I can't really remember. But the one that I played through first was The Wind Waker. I played the demo on the Collector's Edition disc, and I completely enjoyed it, and that's what got me into the series. And I just wanted to put Wind Waker on my birthday list, and I got the game, and I was so excited to play it sort of thing. But yeah, and I'm really excited for the remake coming out this October and September if you're getting the digital version. But I'm really looking forward to the HD remake because I'm going to be reliving my childhood and first Legend of Zelda game in HD. But yeah.
Technically, yeah, I started with Zelda's Collector's Edition, and I tried out Zelda 1 and 2, but I can't exactly get into those because I was really young at the time. So I went to Ocarina of Time. I got hooked into it.
Yeah, I'd have to say the same thing for me, too. My first game was the Collector's Edition, but the first one I picked was Majora's Mask. But, like I said, I couldn't really get into that one. So I tried the Wind Waker demo, not knowing it was a demo, a 20-minute demo. I was really hooked onto that, and, like, the screen faded to black, and I was like, what the heck? And it's, oh, it's a demo. Silly me.
Yeah, my brother, when he got Ocarina of Time, he pretty much taught me how to play video games growing up. And with that, it was one of the better games that him and I actually sat down and played. It wasn't multiplayer, like we mostly played together, but we did a lot with that game. And
by a lot, you mean that he played the majority of the game and you just pressed A for the dialogue?
No. I watched him play, and every day when he came home from school, he would play the game again, beat Ganondorf, and I would press the A button at the end.
So then you would advance the dialogue.
Exactly.
Okay.
My first Legend of Zelda game was Ocarina of Time. And I actually remember my cousin playing through it the first time. And then much later, when I turned about 8, I finally got around to playing it myself. And actually completed the game. And it was actually a bit different than how I remember it when I was watching my cousin play through it. But it's still a fantastic game, in my opinion. All right, so that brings us to the end of our mailbag. And like I said earlier, you can send us a message or questions to wantmindabackpodcast@hotmail.com or Minda's podcast on the forum. Now, for contacting us, you can contact me on the Want Minda Back forum at MindaFan10039. You can also contact me on Mario Party Legacy at NintendoFan10039 and through Facebook at McCollumWillamKeba. Anyone else willing to put their contact list forward?
The only way you can really get in contact with me is through the forums. I do have a YouTube account by my same username, but I'd rather not use it for contact.
Just contact me through Zelda Lord.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, my contact information, I said it before, you can contact me through the forums by Camaro Squid, like the Want in the Mac forums, or you can contact me by Twitter by Camaro Squid. And I have other contact information, but I'm not going to list it because I listed it before on the first podcast. But, yeah, it's mainly just the forums and Twitter. But If you're going to contact me, go through the forums via Camaro Squid.
That brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye!
Good day.
See ya.